Friendships, teammates, dating, siblings. How do our children learn about building healthy relationships? Do they understand the importance of boundaries when it comes to friends, partners, and family members? Parents are a key influence in the way children learn to interact with those around them and what children expect from relationships in their day-to-day life. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director at SCAN of Northern Virginia. My guest today is Marianne Moran with the Arlington Partnership for Children, Youth, and Families. Thank you for joining us today, Marianne.
I'm glad to be here, Sonia.
We spend a lot of energy telling our children what not to do in relationships. Don't bully, don't call names, don't disrespect adults, and so on and so on. But how often do we talk to them about what a healthy relationship actually looks like and how hard it can be? Do we talk to our children about what to look for, expect, and contribute to relationships with friends and eventually with romantic partners? Children involved in unhealthy relationships are at risk for abuse, bullying, low self-esteem, and many other challenges. Helping our children establish and respect personal boundaries can be an incredibly valuable life skill, allowing them to participate in healthy relationships of all kinds. Today, we'll discuss how parents can teach and model healthy relationships in everyday life. So, Marianne, let's start with the basics. What does a healthy relationship look like?
I think the most important element of a healthy relationship is that it be balanced and mutual. Mutual trust, mutual respect, mutual caring and valuing by each person in the relationship. Both people need to respect each other and care about each other in a way that values who that person is, where they are right at that moment. And of course, how that looks depends on how old the children are and how where they are developmentally.
Okay. And let's talk about what we're trying to avoid. What are some of the unhealthy relationships that you see among children?
I think often what we see in children and even teens is not so much unhealthy as relationships in progress, because, you know, this is their first time on the planet and they may not have all the skills they need to build a healthy relationship. And they're still learning about feelings, you know, their own feelings, someone else's feelings. Even teenagers are not good at reading people's expressions and understanding that they're really making someone angry just by looking at their face. So some of this is a learning process, and that's where parents can come in and be helpful. And kids can act disrespectfully and in an uncaring way, but I think often that's more out of ignorance than malice. Mm-hmm. So that said, in a relationship, if there's not this mutual trust and giving, it's a bad situation for sure. So I think one of the examples is if one child needs to be in charge all the time and the other child doesn't get to make any decisions, certainly that's unhealthy. When one child is the arbiter of the social circle for everybody, you know, who will be friends? It's the famous you can't play that we all hear in younger children. But in teens, you know, oh, don't talk to her, she's such and such. Or don't talk to him, he's a jerk. Someone who's always in charge. And what's very concerning about that is research shows those roles can really stick. And as young people mature into adults, they're still playing those roles, either the social arbiter or the victim of the social arbiter. So it's really important that parents step in if they see that happening and help balance that out.
Well, let's talk about what parents can do, because I think we have to be aware that our kids are bombarded with media images and messages that are not contributing to an right. You know, a healthy relationship concept. So as parents, what kinds of things can we do to actually teach kids about healthy relationships?
Well, first thing I think, as in all relationships, listen to what our children and teens are saying. They are immersed in this youth culture, and we may not be. So listening to their music, watching their TV shows, looking at their magazines, and then asking questions. You know, well, what do you think about those two people? They're having sex, and they just met each other. What do you think about that? And having a conversation about that. If your child or teen is having a difficulty with a friend, you know, trying to listen carefully but not solve the problem, and not get yourself tangled into a knot about who's the bad kid, who's the good kid here. Just listen just like adults, children and teens want to be heard and know you understand them. And then they can often solve their own relationship problems. I don't think we can overestimate the lack of skills young people have in naming feelings and in recognizing feelings in other people. So I think the more we can help kids by, for little children, looking at books, does that person look angry just as you're reading your story, or does that person look sad? And with teens, pointing it out again in their own culture, in their TV shows, pointing out when people are not respecting each other's feelings and just having a conversation about that. Clearly, you don't want to do that in the middle of the show, but, you know, as things go on.
But developing some vocabulary and some concepts right. about what yeah. what we're observing and some names
right.
for those things.
Yeah. And that often sad, angry, frustrated, those all come out the same. And those are very different feelings. So helping them see the distinctions. And one thing we can do with children as young as 3 or 4 is help them see things from another perspective, from the other person's side. Just by asking them, you know, how do you feel if, how do you think this person feels right now? Helping them understand we're all having feelings and we need to recognize that in each other.
So, mm-hmm. yeah. And that sort of helps them on that problem-solving path mm-hmm. by saying, well, what do you think Sally is thinking or feeling
exactly.
or coming
yeah,
from?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
We also mentioned boundaries a little bit earlier. What are boundaries and why are they important?
I think, simply put, boundaries are what each of us, adults, children, teens, have to develop to keep ourselves safe and, equally important, to keep ourselves whole so that we feel like a valued person in the world. And even little children need to have to set boundaries and need to be encouraged to do that. And I think parents can really help by giving them the words. Sometimes a little kid is invited for a play date, but they really don't want to go, and this person really isn't their friend. And often as parents, we want to smooth all that over, you know, and not have any difficulties. But the child's needs need to be respected. We can't be friends with everybody. So helping your child come up with some caring words that would say, well, you know, this afternoon we're going to be busy or something like that, so that your child's needs are respected, as are the feelings of the other little kid. I think if an adult friend or relative is, you know, in your home and wants a hug or kiss from any age child, especially with little children, that needs to be respected if they say no. And the grown-up needs to understand this isn't really about you. And usually over time, and it's like when grandparents come from far away, and as a grandmother, I know that would be very hurtful, but we need to respect what the young person is saying. And as soon as they get to know people a little better, then they're certainly going to be happy to be loving and caring. I think every child needs to know our bodies are our own, our whole bodies, and there need to be clear boundaries there, and that you can be very vociferous about making those boundaries. And then if anyone's doing something that makes you feel uncomfortable or afraid or even just uneasy a little, we need to encourage our kids act on that.
To speak
up. Yeah, speak up and don't feel like your feelings don't count for anything around that. And with little kids, if someone's teasing them or hurting their feelings, giving them the words to say, you know, you're making me really angry, or I feel really sad because you're saying this, gives them a way to react as opposed to, you know, hauling off and hitting somebody or, you know, I'll never play with you again kind of language. So I think words for little kids are really important. Mm-hmm. And words for teenagers too, because, again, they don't have too much experience with all this.
And our role as parents kind of has to change. I think when our children mm-hmm. are younger, we as parents get to set some of those boundaries for right. our kids. But as they get older, our role sort of has to change.
Yeah, and that can be scary for parents, especially as teens move into romantic relationships, which is a wonderful and very positive thing. But parents have to be clear about talking to their kids about sex and what this all means and how this fits into life, because they don't know that unless we talk about it. And helping them, again, set boundaries around their own bodies, what they're ready for, what they're not ready for, encouraging them in that way. Another thing is, as kids get older, you don't know their friends for the most part. The more you can do to get those friends into your house so you get to know them and find out about them and be another caring adult in their lives. And if at all possible, get to know your child's friend's parents, then you have a whole network of people who are trying to be on the same page about supporting kids in healthy relationships, dating or peer-to-peer relationships. So.
And I think as parents of teens, we know we should probably talk more about sex, and we should always sort of be struggling with that. But I think sometimes we forget about talking about some of the non-sexual boundaries, like the teenager who's constantly getting text messages from their romantic partner about where they are and controlling their life. And how do you sort of have some independent activities as well as have a relationship? And navigating that is hard for adults, but it's really hard for teenagers.
Yes. Yeah, that is a huge problem, because what seems bizarre to those of us who are older is normal to them to get all these texts. So again, helping them understand that a good, healthy relationship is fun. You're supposed to enjoy it. You're supposed to be having a good time with the person you're with. And if you're feeling annoyed and hemmed in by this relationship, then you need to be able to speak up. Again, if parents are listening and maybe even asking, you know, you seem to be getting a lot of text messages. Is that okay with you? Or how does this feel? So that they can begin to help their teen set a boundary there. And again, if you see your son or daughter being isolated by a romantic relationship, losing interest in their other friends, that's a real red flag. And encouraging, talking to them and encouraging them that they need all the friends in their life, and no one has the right to take over your life like this.
Mm-hmm. We have just about a minute left. Is there a final message you wanted to be sure to share with parents who are listening this morning?
I think the strongest thing parents can do is just keep communicating with their children, and especially through the teen years. And the way they can model for their kids is to set boundaries themselves, to be clear in their own relationships. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody argues. But how we do that is what really is a good role for them. And forever, ever, ever sending your kid the message that you are a wonderful person, you are loved, you are cared for, I respect you, helps your teen go out with that inside themselves, and then they can make healthier choices.
Great message this morning, Mary Ann. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our relationships in many ways dictate the direction of our entire lives. Healthy relationships of all kinds, from friendships to family ties to romantic ties, help our children learn who they are and influence how they feel about themselves. As parents, we need to build a strong, safe, first relationship for them. If we show our children love and teach them to value themselves, they are better equipped to establish boundaries and see unhealthy relationships if they develop in their lives. Ultimately, our efforts today help ensure that our children will live their lives tomorrow in relationships that support, sustain, and bring enjoyment as they face both the opportunities and the challenges of adult life. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Mary Ann Moran for joining me to talk about this very important topic. Remember, every child and family matters. We all play a critical role in our communities, and we can each take action to help families thrive. For more information about boundaries and healthy relationships, along with other parenting challenges, visit the SCAN website at www.scanva.org.